Morning. When you found your place there, hold it there and go to John chapter number 10, the Gospel of John chapter number 10, a very familiar passage of Scripture. Jesus is just literally hours from going to the cross of Calvary when he says in John chapter number 10 and verse number 10, he says, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." Then Jesus goes on and says, "I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." Jesus is telling this to his disciples. I want you to have life, and I want you to have an abundant life. That is my will for you. I want you to have life, and I want you to have abundant life. I think in our journey through life, many of us settle for less when we could settle for more. I think many of us could probably go ahead and we could probably attain God's blessings, but we have chosen to settle what we could provide for ourselves. Look at Deuteronomy chapter number 4. In the book of Deuteronomy, the word Deuteronomy means the second law or the second giving of the law. The children of Israel had wandered through the wilderness for 40 years, and now they are ready to cross over into the promised land. And as they get ready to cross over into the promised land, God stops them and Moses reiterates the law of God to them before they cross over. And in Deuteronomy chapter number 4, Moses is telling the children of Israel how that they can have a blessed life in the future. How many of you would like to have a blessed life in the future? Can I see your hand this morning? How many of you would like to have a cursed life in the future? Anybody, any takers on that? Some of you are not voting either way, all right? Listen, I think as far as I'm concerned, I would rather have life. And life more abundantly. I'd rather be the head and not the tail. I would rather be above and not beneath. I would rather go ahead and have God's blessings on my life than to go ahead and just do all I can by my own strength to obtain my own blessings. Look what it says in verse number 1 and 2 of Deuteronomy chapter 4. "Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them, that ye may," what's that next word? "Live. And go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you." God wanted them to live and to go in and possess. To live and to go in and possess. What were they going to possess? A land that flowed with milk and honey. A land where the grapes of Eshcol grew. A land that was filled with abundance. That's what God's desire was for them. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, as we come before thee, I pray, Lord, you'd help us to glean some things from your word this morning. Lord, give me clarity of thought and mind, Lord, as I deliver thy word. And Lord, I pray if there's anyone in our midst today that doesn't know thee as Savior, Lord, I pray that they would get saved before it's eternally too late. Guide and direct. We'll give you the praise and glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I heard a story about a hardworking man that died and went to heaven. And as he was up in heaven, he was walking down, and one of the saints of God was giving him a tour as he was walking through heaven, and he saw the mansions, and he saw the river of life, and he saw the tree of life there, and he saw the Lord, and he saw all the wonderful things. And as he was walking along, this hard-working Christian man that had died and gone to the Lord, all of a sudden he came to a warehouse district. And he said, "What's all this?" He says, "Oh, these are all unanswered prayers." He says, "Unanswered prayers," and they walked a little bit farther. He noticed on one of the warehouses was his name. And so he says, why is my name there? He said, well, let's go look. So they went back over to this warehouse and they scrolled the doors back, and here was all this stuff that was inside of there. I mean, there was cars and there was all kinds of stuff. There was a nice home in there and just all kinds of things that anybody would just love to have. And the man says, why are these things here? He says, well, he says, these are all the things that you didn't pray for. You know, sometimes we as Christians, we will settle. We will settle for what we can obtain by our own strength. Instead of falling down before God and saying, Lord, I need you, and I need your strength, and I need your power, and everything that I have, Lord, belongs to you. And so, Lord, I'm just going to trust you for all things. And then we cast all of our care upon him. And then God starts pouring out the blessings from heaven upon us. I really believe that God wants to bless his children with life. He wanted to bless the children of Israel with life. I want you to look at a few passages of Scripture. You got your Bible with you today? I hope so. Amen. We believe the Bible around here. Look at a couple passages. Hold your place here in Deuteronomy chapter 4. Look at Exodus chapter number 23. Look at verse number 25. Exodus chapter number 23, and look at verse number 25. Notice what the Lord told the children of Israel. In Exodus chapter number 23 and verse number 25, it says, and ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy, what? Bread. And thy water, and I will give, or excuse me, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. The Bible says that God wanted to bless his children. In Proverbs 10 and verse number 22, it says, the blessings of the Lord, it maketh rich. And he addeth no sorrow with it. God's desire is to bless his children and to bless them with a full life. In Deuteronomy chapter number 28, verse number 1 and 2, it says, and it shall come to pass, if thou hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. God says, look, I'm not only going to bless you, but I'm going to overtake you with those blessings. Boy, that's the side I'd like to be on, amen? If I'm ever going to be overtaken, I want to be overtaken by the blessings of God. I want you to notice what it says in 3 John, verse number 2. John the Beloved said, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. God wants us to prosper. God wants us to be in good health. By the way, this is not a prosperity message, all right? I want you to understand that, all right? But I do want you to understand that God, number one, God wants to bless the children of Israel as us with life. Look over at the book of Ephesians, chapter number 1. Look at verse number 3. In the New Testament, Ephesians chapter number 1. It said, blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. I want you to notice something else. Look at Malachi chapter number 3. Look at verse number 10. Notice what the Lord said that he was going to do. In Malachi chapter 3 and verse number 10, he says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I'll not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. God wants to bless his faithful children with a blessing and an overflowing blessing. A blessing that there's not room enough to receive it. I want you to notice what it says in Matthew chapter number 6. Turn over just a few pages, Matthew chapter 6. Got your Bible? Amen. I hear pages rustling out there in the audience. That's great. Matthew chapter number 6. Look what it says in verse 33. We all know this verse. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. You say, what things is that? It's the things that's mentioned in the previous verse. Verse number 31 is talking about the things that we eat and consume. In verse number 28 through verse number 30, it's dealing with the clothes that we wear. All of the necessities of life. People are so consumed today. Oh, I've got to work so many hours in order to make these bills and pay these bills off. And I got to do this and I got to do that because it all relies upon me. You know, we need to figure it out. It doesn't rely upon you. It relies upon God. God is the one that owns the cattle on the thousand hills, and he owns the wealth in every mine. And what we need to do is get close to God. And God will go ahead and provide and meet every need. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. We serve a God that wants to bless his children. God is not some mean ogre sitting on a cloud with a handful of lightning bolts ready to go ahead and strike us down every time we do something wrong. We've got a loving and a heavenly Father that loves us and cares about us. He wants to meet our needs. He wants to fellowship with us. He wants to bless us with his presence. So number one, you ought to write this down. God wanted to bless the children of Israel with life. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 4. Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you for to do them, that ye may live. You ought to mark that down, that ye may live. God wants us to live. He wants us to have life. A life that is vibrant, on fire for God. A bright shining light in a dark world. God wants us to live. You know, some people think that they can't live unless they got a bottle of booze in their hand. Some people think they can't live unless they're involved in some type of illicit affair. I'm here to tell you today, if you draw close to God and you walk with God, there is no greater living that you'll ever experience than walking hand in hand with the Lord. I want you to notice, not only does God want to bless them with life, but it says, and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. God wanted to bless them not only with life, God wanted to bless them with possession. He wanted them to move in to the promised land. He wanted them to move to a place where it was a land that flowed with milk and honey. It was a blessed land. It was a land where the grapes of Eshcol grew. It was a place that God was going to give them. I want you to notice what it says there in verse number 1. It says that they may go in and possess the land. I looked up the word possess in my Strong's Concordance. And the word possess means this. It means to occupy by driving out previous tenants and possessing in their place. And that's exactly what the children of Israel had to do. There were all kinds of people there that were wicked people. They didn't love God. And God says, you know what? Because they're so wicked and they don't want anything to do with me, I'm going to take the land away from them and I'm going to give them to the children of Israel. And the only way that they could have possession was they had to rid themselves, number one, of the enemies of God, and number two, of those individuals that were involved in the works of the flesh. I want you to notice what the scripture has to say. They had to possess the land. By implication, it means to seize. In order for the children of Israel to have the blessing of possession, they needed to drive out the wicked occupants of the land. This is the way it's been since the beginning. Ever since Genesis chapter number 1, God wanted Adam and Eve to have dominion, to rule over. It says, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. In other words, take control of it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth on the earth. God wanted the children of Israel to have possession. But that possession was only possible when the former tenants moved out. The blessings of possession cannot coexist with the enemies of God. Let me repeat that. The blessings of possession cannot coexist with the enemies of God. I want you to notice what it says in Deuteronomy just a few pages over in chapter number 7. He is giving them instruction on how they are to enter into the land. Now the land is filled full of all kinds of God's enemies. And it says in Deuteronomy chapter number 7 and verse number 1, it says, when the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and have cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. There was no way the children of Israel could have the blessings of God, and there is no way that they could go ahead and have possession as long as someone else was there possessing. And may I say to you this morning, as a child of God, if you want to go ahead and have possession in your life, possession cannot coexist with the enemies of God. You want to possess the blessings of God in your life? Listen to me. It cannot coexist with adultery. It cannot coexist with alcoholism. It cannot coexist with drug use. It cannot coexist with wicked thoughts. Listen to me. It cannot coexist with a carnal mind. If we are going to have possessed the land that God has for us spiritually, we need to realize it cannot coexist with the enemies of God. So therefore, those enemies have to be driven out. And those things that occupy the space that God wants us to have, we need out of our life. And you know what's happening? People are saying, you know, I think I kind of would rather settle for less than settle for more. I think I'd rather go ahead and settle with the works of my hands. And I think I'd rather go ahead and settle with the thoughts of my own life. And I'd rather go ahead and focus on the things that pleases my flesh more than the things that pleases God. And you know what happens? We miss the blessings of God. We miss the blessings of God. And God wants to go ahead and have us possess the land. But the land, we cannot receive the possession as long as we are coexisting with the world, the flesh, and the devil. God wanted to bless them with possession. The blessings of possession cannot coexist with the enemies of God. For us today, the blessings of God and the blessings of possession cannot coexist with the works of the flesh. Look at Galatians chapter number 5. Hold your place there in the book of Deuteronomy. Look at Galatians chapter number 5, look at verse number 19. The Apostle Paul is talking about the works of the flesh here and how that these things are contrary to our new nature as a Christian. And in Galatians chapter number 5 and verse number 19, as soon as I get there, it says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Would you read this with me? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft. Stop there for a moment. You know that witchcraft, it comes from the Greek word pharmakia, where we get the word pharmacy from today. It means enchantment with drugs. That is a work of the flesh. Witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, which I tell you before and have told you in time past, notice this, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. This typifies lost people. Lost people don't go to heaven. Now, I'm not saying a Christian can't fall into these things because, listen, if you're not led by the Spirit of God as a Christian, you can go ahead and fall into all kinds of wickedness. But I'm telling you, it ought not be the manner of your life because God has given you a new life. He's made you a new creature in Christ. He has given you life and life more abundantly. And why in the world someone would want to settle for less? I don't understand why someone would want to go ahead and settle for a drunken stupor and a hangover than to be in the house of God on Sunday morning, amen? I don't know why someone would, listen, I would rather embrace a brother or a sister in the Lord than embrace a toilet all night long, getting rid of what I drank the night before, amen? I don't know how else to say it. Listen, I've lived on both sides of the tracks, and I know what it's like. I'd rather go ahead and serve the Lord. God wants to give us life, and God wants to give us life more abundantly. And listen, we cannot have the possession if we coexist with the enemies of God. We cannot have the possession if we coexist with the works of the flesh. I want you to turn back to Deuteronomy 4. He describes the path for blessings. The path for blessings. How do I get there? So the Christian life is a journey. It really is. It is a journey for us all. If you know the Lord as your Savior, thank God it starts at a point in time when you accept Christ as your Savior, and it will end up when we cross over into heaven, but in between there, it's a journey. We find in Deuteronomy chapter number 4, I want you to notice the path in order to get to God's blessings. Look what it says in verse 1. Now therefore hearken. The word hearken means more than just to hear. The word hearken means to hear and to pay attention. You know, it's kind of like there's a difference between hearing and hearkening, fellas. Like when your wife says something and she says, did you hear me? Oh yeah, I heard you. But then when she says, after she's been cooking a nice dinner for you, hey, dinner's ready, and all of a sudden, oh, I'll be right there. You know, that's hearkening. Yeah. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Amen? Amen. It's listening and paying attention. And the Bible says here, for the children of Israel, it says, now therefore, hearken, O Israel. Listen. Pay attention. Boy, that's what God's people need to do. They not only need to listen with their ear, they need to pay attention with their heart. What are they to listen? It says, listen unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them. What were they to listen for? They were to listen to the word of God. Listen, the path towards possession of God's fullest blessings. starts with obeying the Word of God. It starts with obeying the Word of God. And by the way, the start of all of that begins with listening to what Jesus said. In Mark 1, verse number 15, Jesus went out at that time, began to preach, saying, "Repent ye and believe the gospel." The Bible tells us that Jesus told them in John chapter number 3 and verse number 3, they needed to be born again. Obey the Word of God. You say, what are you saying? I'm saying this, if you're not saved, you ought to get saved because God has commanded you to get saved. Amen. He has commanded you to obey the gospel. He has commanded you to be born again. He has commanded you. It says in Acts chapter number 17 and verse number 30, at the times of this ignorance God winked at, but commandeth all men everywhere now to repent. Listen, we need to understand that we are to, if we're going to have this life of blessings from God, we need to obey the Word of God, and it starts with salvation. Starts with salvation. The first step of obedience is to accept Jesus Christ as God has commanded us. Look at verse number 2 of Deuteronomy 4. It says, "Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that it may keep, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you." You gotta love little kids. Sometimes they say the funniest things. There was a little boy in kindergarten class. He was told to go ahead and color a picture of the Garden of Eden. So all the kids were coloring pictures, and some drew a tree with the fruit hanging on it, and some drew Adam and Eve, and one little boy drew an airplane. And it had four people in it. And this is what the boy thought. So the teacher looked at the picture and said, "Well, what can you explain to me this picture?" He says, "Yeah." He says, "In the airplane, that's God, and that's Adam, and that's Eve as they're being taken out of the garden." He says, "Well, who's the fourth person?" And the little boy looked at him and he says, "Well, don't you understand? That's Pontius the Pilate." You know, sometimes in our simplistic understanding of things, we might get it wrong. No, Pontius Pilate was not there flying him out of the garden. But we do need to understand this. As we understand the Word of God, we should not try to alter the Word of God or change the Word of God. And if we're going to have the blessings of God on our life, listen, do not corrupt the Word of God. And I don't think that little boy was trying to corrupt it. He's just trying to explain it the best way he understood how. Amen? That's why he needs to have more Sunday school classes. Hopefully help him. So don't alter the Word of God. You know, it's amazing today. Every cult and every clan today has their own version of the Bible. And there's a reason for that, because nobody wants to be told what to do. Nobody wants a final authority that says, "Thus saith the Lord." They will say, "Well, you know, my version says this, or my version says that." And they have no idea what they're talking about. The only thing they really want to do is they don't want to be told what to do. And the bottom line is, God has the final word. You want to have a blessed life? Just pick up God's word and obey it. Read it and obey it. So don't alter the Word of God in order to make it fit you. Let the Word of God alter you. And then look at verse number 4. What is the pathway? Well, number 1, I need to obey the Word. Number 2, I ought not alter the Word or change the Word in order to suit my own fancy. Verse number 4, it says, "But ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you, this day." The word cleave means to stick like glue. I want to have a blessed life. I need to go ahead and stick like glue to the things of God. So many times, I'll see young people, they'll grow up in church. They'll sit on the front pew, Douglas, and they'll sit there, they'll listen to the preacher preach. They're even within spitting distance. I mean, you know, they hear fluid English sometimes. And they're right there, and they'll listen to what they have to say. But you know what? There comes a point in time in their life where they have to choose. What am I going to do? Am I going to be in church? Am I going to read my Bible? Am I going to walk the spiritual path on my own? Or am I going to do it my own way and walk my own way? And too many times I've watched young people say, you know what, I'm not going to listen to the preacher or my mom and dad, and I'm going to do things my own way, only to mess up their lives totally. And then 10, 15, 20 years come back and say, preacher, would you help me put back the pieces? And I do the best I can. It's so much easier to do it God's way. It's so much easier to go ahead and do it the way that God has it for us. We need to stick like glue. Christian, listen to me. Stick like glue to the Lord. Don't walk away. There's only heartache. Look at verse 9. The path says, only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul. What's that next word? Diligently. The word diligent means painstaking effort. I remember when I was a freshman and I was running track, and they put me on in the half mile. I had no idea why they did that. I was usually a sprinter, not a distance runner, so I'm running around, and the first lap, and the guy's there calling off numbers, and the first lap I'm going around, and I wasn't that fast, but the first lap I was right at about 56 seconds for the first leg of the quarter, and then I had one more, and I heard the coach yelling at me, slow down, Rick, slow down. Well, I was going to slow down. I was just about ready to just slow completely down. I was going way too fast at the beginning. I remember as I turned that last quarter, the last corner of the track heading towards the finish line, I run out of gas. I mean, I run out of gas, and everybody started passing me, and I'm sitting there, and I'm just going the best I can go, and there's just nothing left. I certainly would have wished I would have listened to the coach. Slow down. Listen, the Bible says we need to go ahead and keep our heart diligently. Keep our heart diligently. It means to pursue with painstaking effort. Just like I was pursuing the goal with painstaking effort. Oh, I finished. Not as well as I wanted to, but I finished. But I did so with painstaking effort. I hope and pray that Douglas and some of you young people that are in here, you'll finish with painstaking effort. You want to have God's blessings on your life? You put your hand to the plow and you don't look back. You go on for God. Lexi, there's coming a time when you're going to have to make a decision. Raymond, you're going to have to make a decision. I'm praying for both of you. That you'll go ahead and make the right decision. And that you'll follow the Lord when mom and dad aren't there to make a decision for you. And not just follow the Lord, but pursue it with painstaking effort. Too many times, Christians approach their Christian life just kind of flippantly. Well, if I read my Bible today, fine. If I don't, that's fine. If I go to church today, that's fine. If I don't go to church, that's fine. Oh, if I talk to somebody about the Lord, that's fine. If I don't, that's fine. And they wonder why the blessings are lacking in their life. The Bible says that they were to keep their heart with all diligence. Look at verse number 15. The path to blessings. In verse number 15 of chapter number 4, it says, Take ye therefore good heed unto yourselves, that ye saw no manner of similitude on the day that the Lord spake unto you in Horeb out of the midst of the fire. He is warning them about idolatry. Don't make any graven images. You didn't see an image when I spoke to you off the mountain. Beware of idolatry. Listen, there's so many times as a child of God, we've allowed idolatry to creep into our lives. Things that replace God and takes the place of the service of God. We need to be careful. Even John the Beloved said in 1 John 5:20, little children, my little children, keep yourselves from idols. All the things of this life that we work so hard for has a tendency to become our God. Has a tendency to go ahead and replace the things of God. Oh, look what I've got. I've got this and I've got that. You're missing out. You're settling for less. Because God has so much more. And God's coffers are full. His barns are filled in heaven. And he's ready to pour us out a blessing. There is not room enough to receive it. But the question is, do you want to settle for less? Or are you going to settle for what God has for you? Beware of idolatry. It'll keep you from receiving God's blessings. And then look at verse number 23 as I close. He says, take heed unto yourselves, lest ye forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made for you, and make you a graven image or the likeness of anything which the Lord thy God hath forbidden thee. For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. He says, remember. He says, remember the covenant. He says, don't forget that covenant I made with you. I remember when I got saved. Back on October 30th of 1978, God made a covenant with me. He said, listen, if you'll just accept me as your Savior, I'll save your soul. I'll write your name down in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'll take you to heaven one day. And that's what God said to me. And God made a covenant with me, and he saved me that day. I want a life full of blessings. I should never forget what God has done for me. Amen. You remember when you got saved? You remember that day when you fell on your knees before God and you said, Lord, I am a rotten, wicked sinner and I deserve to die and go to hell. Come into my heart and save me. And save me now. I remember when I did that. Listen to me. You want to have a life full of blessings? You remember. Don't forget what God has done for you. I really believe today that there are some that are willing to settle for less when God wants them to settle for more. The fact is, God wants us to have fellowship. God wants us to receive his blessings. Many times his children are willing to settle for their best instead of God's best. Oh, they work hard only to receive the works of their own hands and never fully receive God's richest blessings. God has a path to his blessings. It starts with Jesus Christ. Where is Christ in your life? Have you accepted him as your Savior? I hope and pray that you have. And if you have accepted Christ as your Savior, is he Lord of your life? Is he your Lord? Let's bow our heads, please. With every head bowed and every eye closed, this morning,